welcome to another episode of Stirring the Pot Podcast. This is your host, DJ, aka 509 Reasons. And I got the homie back for another episode, my homie Rick. Go ahead, you already know what the intro is. Go ahead.
Yes, sir, man. Always a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me back. It's your boy Rick representing the Misty Eccentric Podcast, man. Looking forward to this conversation, man.
Yes, sir, man. We're back. It's been a minute with the podcast gang. You know, life is lifing. But we making it happen, you know what I'm saying? So yeah, so you finally got your podcast going since we last spoke. You know, you was about to start it up. Now you actually got it going.
Yeah, we up and running, man. I'm about 3 episodes in right now, if I'm not mistaken. Hey. So I got 3 episodes already available. I got the 4th episode on deck. Probably gonna be dropping in the next week or so. So we'll have that out pretty soon, man. But we're moving along, bro. It feels good.
See, not a rookie no more. Now you a vet.
Yeah. Now we just gotta get you on the other side. So next time we link up, it's gonna have to be on my side.
I'm with it. You already just gotta let me know. We on that, you know what I'm saying?
Facts, yeah.
But shoot, man. We're gonna get busy. We're gonna get straight to the point. The hot topic, unfortunately, of the young week. The rap community loses another one. One member of the Migos, Takeoff, gets he was murdered in Houston. Right now, it's still a speculation about what happened. It's still fresh and early. We don't know exactly what happened. They're saying, some people are saying it's a dice game. Some people are saying that he might have got hit with a ricochet bullet, like it wasn't meant for him. Don't know. But at the end of the day, we all know that a gun was shot and the gun was intended to harm people. And this is nothing new.
Yeah. Same story, man. Same old story.
This is not the first rapper to die from unnatural causes.
Yeah.
Here, who we got in the past year or so? We got Takeoff. We have PNB Rock.
PNB, yeah.
I know Young Dolph last year. The fact that I'm naming these names like this is just too much.
Yeah. And I think the thing that continues to annoy the shit out of me is like the circumstances, right? Like, you know, you out hanging out in the hood buying cookies, or you know, at Roscoe's having lunch, you know, hanging out at the bowling alley. You know, we go back, you know, even further if it's just hanging out at your own store. You know, like, it's crazy, man. Like the type of shit that's happening, man, it's ridiculous, man. The cycle is just insane, man.
Yeah, it makes no sense. I agree. I can't. What really affected me about this is just how fast it took off the news, in the sense of yesterday, woke up, checked my Instagram, get a DM by my cousin. You know, my cousin, we send DMs back and forth, little cut funny memes and stuff like that. And then I seen Takeoff was killed. And they're just like, what? So, you know, I get to my Googles, because I don't really, at this point, I can't just trust everything that's on Instagram. Yeah. People be talking and things might move too fast, you know, and then next thing you find out, that's not true. And then seeing the news reports, he was actually killed. And then that from there, I was just like, I'm gonna have to log off the internet for a day.
Yeah.
Because this is gonna affect me. Not just for the fact that it was Takeoff, but even early, I like to read news reports or whatever. There was, I guess it was Halloween night, and there was people who got 13 people were injured from a shootout in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And you already know where it is. Yeah. Shoot out in the hood. So at this point, it's just affecting me. Like, damn, we keep talking about Black Lives Matter. We keep talking about how white folks are putting us down or not giving us the opportunity. And it's just like, damn, we keep killing each other off. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And that's just like really hurting me, you know, just to keep seeing these things happen over and over again.
Yeah, I think the thing that makes it worse, right, is like, and no, not to say anybody's life is more important than someone else's, right? But we continue to see this happen in our own neighborhoods, in our own communities, right? But you got to take a step back sometimes and take a look at, you know, when it's some of these high profile entertainers and whatnot, you know, it hurts even more, because then you look and you'd be like, this is somebody who is out here, you know, representing the community, right? This is somebody who's out here on a platform, I don't want to say on a pedestal, but you know, who's lifted themselves up to a certain stature, to a certain level of notoriety within their own craft, within their own artistry, who is being a representative of our community. And even that's not enough for them to be off limits, you know, for them to be, mm-hmm. you know, like for them to not be a casualty of this nonstop nonsense, you know? And it sucks, man. That part hurts me the most.
Yeah. Young Black artists, finally rich and famous, getting to enjoy the spoils of all their hard work only for this just like happen to them. It's terrible. Yeah. Yeah. Especially right now, you know that Migos was going through a situation where the full group of three were split up, yeah. and it was just Quavo and Takeoff.
Yeah, yeah, and they just dropped the album. They dropped a music video on Monday. You know, and you mentioned the dissension within the group. You know, it's like I could only imagine. You know, it's like it's two part, right? Because you have Quavo, who was there with him, who had to witness this whole thing. Mm-hmm. You know, how does he move on with that image, with that memory? There's a lot of speculation as far as what happened. I know one of the stories I heard is that the beef or whatever started with Quavo, apparently, and Takeoff wasn't necessarily even. You know, like the person involved in the issue. I mean, who knows? Obviously, it's all speculation. So, but either way, we know he was there. We know he was there with him. So imagine, you know what I mean? He's got to move on and live the rest of his life with that. You take it to the other side, and then, you know, you got Offset, where they had the issue, they had whatever beef they had that caused them to split, you know, and now this is family that you were able to do something historic and legendary with, and y'all had y'all little beef and y'all had y'all little issue, and now he's gone. And you know what I'm saying? There isn't even an opportunity to rectify that, you know, moving forward. You know, it's a terrible situation all around, you know?
And we're talking about literally family, you know what I'm saying? So it's terrible.
Like I've been thinking all day, just knowing that we're gonna have this conversation, just trying to figure out how to even have the conversation, right? Because at this point, what can we say anymore? You know, it's like, you know, you mentioned Black Lives Matter earlier, and you know, I'm at the point, you know, where for me it's like, fuck all that, you know, like it doesn't even mean anything anymore at this point, right? Because if you look at the organization itself, we know the organization itself is crooked, right? God bless the movement. The movement is great, but the movement is overshadowed by the organization, okay? So even if you take the organization out of it and you just focus on the movement, at what point is it more than just a hashtag, you know? At what point is it more than just a t-shirt, like, and a logo? Because that's all, it's all it really is, you know? And it's like, as long as the movement has been around, you know, you continue to see nonstop examples where our own community is spitting on the whole point of the movement, you know? So how much longer can we scream Black Lives Matter while Black lives continue to take Black lives?
Right. Yeah, I mean, at this point, it seems like that a lot of people are past the Black Lives Matter organization, because everybody's starting to see that is just a whole different agenda behind it.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to the alphabet community part of it, the scamming part about it. Mm-hmm. Yep. So I guess a lot of people are starting to see the true colors of the Black Lives Matter organization, but the Black Lives Movement itself. There are some good community leaders out there who are still taking on the good fight. And I guess really the whole problem behind that is that there's just not enough of us who believe in the movement. Like, it takes more than just tapping on the keyboard or hashtagging Black Lives Matter for it to actually mean something. Like, it involves, you know, taking action in communities. And even if you don't have time to, you know, get yourself involved in communities, you need to get involved at home with your family members. You got your little nephews, nieces, and things like that. I was talking with the homie yesterday. Like, you know, he doesn't know how to, like, the kids have the phones all day. I don't have kids, but kids have phones all day long. There's only so much to do, in a sense, because now outside is inside your home. The kids are on these phones.
Yeah.
Once the kid leaves your house, the kid is at school, and then there's a whole nother influence when they get to school. You know what I'm saying? So it's a matter of just having a good influence on your, at least on what you could try to control, which is whether it be your kids, your niece, your nephews, your cousins, and things of that sort. And just try to be good, try to be a good influence. It's not easy, but this Black Lives Matter movement, that involves action. It's not just this hashtag. I really hate this Instagram shit, for real. I ain't gonna lie. Instagram, Facebook, all this.
Social media in general, man.
Social media, if this shit crashed tomorrow, I think I'd be great. I'd be so happy.
But it's a gift and a curse, you know? It's probably the greatest gift and curse of our, you know, of our lifetime, of our generation, whatever, you know, because I'm not going to say there's not good in it. Of course there's good in it, right? You know, I remember, I'm old enough to remember having to write letters to my family overseas and waiting for a letter back. You know what I'm saying? You know, and God forbid I even try to call them. Like, call them? You crazy? It'll be wild, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So the access that it gives us is great, but the access that it gives us is also a detriment, you know? And I think a lot of people, you know, people in general manage their lives very awkwardly as it pertains to social media. And, you know, I mean, you see, I saw you posted a clip with Gilly, you know, talking about how, you know, this man is shot dead and, you know, first thing we see all over the place. Now, you mentioned as far as go jumping on Google to kind of get confirmation. I jumped to Twitter for me is kind of like, you know, the easiest, fastest news source, you know? So I jumped on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the first thing I seen was the video, you know, and it's like, damn. You know, it's like, you know, unsolicited, just boom, right there. And it's like, and it's like, wow, like this man is, you know, literally, like Gilly said, man, this man is literally bleeding out on the floor, and it's filming, you know, that's the first instinct. That's everybody's first instinct. Let me film this and post this because I'm gonna go viral and I'm gonna get more followers, you know, and too many people are living their life through that shit. And it's, man, it's really, really just completely collapsing our entire infrastructure, you know? But you hit the nail on the head with, you know, it starting at home. Cause at this point for me,
mm-hmm.
the Black Lives Matter movement for me
mm-hmm.
is me trying to raise, you know, a Black son and a Black daughter and help influence a Black nephew, a second Black nephew on the way, you know? And it's like, I'm gonna do what I can at home. I'm gonna do what I can to make sure that every time my kids walk out the door, you know, they've got the best intentions for themselves and for their community. Outside of that, I don't know what else can be done at this point, you know? But at the same time,
mm-hmm.
if everybody did their part to do just that, you know, that would start helping. That would start the process, you know, but far too many people are just letting social media and the internet raise and influence their kids. And, you know, what they see is what they're going to do. And unfortunately, when it comes to our community, what they see is, you know, guns, drugs, sex, violence.
And that's a problem. Like this is what we came to stir in the pot for, guys. Not the whole bullshit. Like,
yeah,
I feel like the majority of us are just too easily influenced. No bullshit. Facts. There's no getting around it. There's a lot of us that are very strong that can make our own decisions, and then the rest of us is just like, we got to put off for the Joneses. We got to show people we doing this and doing that. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like you see people doing this with the phone, and then when they put the phone down.
Yo, listen, it nail on the head right there, bro. Like, I wish people would understand how fake reality is for so many of these people. You know what I mean? Like you mentioned, we're easily being influenced. How ironic that the term for that is an influencer, right? Any random Joe Schmo off the streets, depending on what kind of following they have,
depending on how many
followers they got, all of a sudden is an influencer.
Come on. You're saying our keywords.
These corporations are putting batteries in the back of any and everybody just to push whatever agenda that they want, you know? And I'm not going to sit here and try to act like I'm all high and mighty and I don't participate in social media and find myself going down the rabbit holes and scrolling through and clicking and likes and all of that. Obviously, we both have podcasts that we're promoting and pushing as well. So we're looking to build followings and whatnot, you know? So I don't want people to sit here and be like, oh, how you going to talk this and that? But you know what? There's levels. You know, there's levels and there's different extremities. And I think we're getting closer and closer to a society where it's really all about looking for what to do next. Like far too many people are literally living their lives almost step by step based on what influencer XYZ is saying and doing.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, like, what are we doing here? You know, especially again, like I said, most of the time that influencer turns off the camera and they a whole nother fucking person.
Motherfucking person.
You know what I'm saying?
You hit it right on the head. It's like, yo, you come on the social media, you got the influencers that influence the followers. All I gotta do is shape your agenda. You know what I'm saying? Shape how you want to move, you know, give you a little piece of the things that you already like, and then keep you coming in for more, for more, and for more. And that way you can only move in this realm of your reality. Which is why politics and all types of other stuff is so polarized right now. Everything that you like, you don't have to worry about anything else, because you know what I'm saying? I'm feeding you that all that good shit. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And it's ugly right now. It's super ugly. You know what I'm saying? Politics.
I had a conversation. I had a conversation with one of my homies, actually on my homies podcast, this episode we did. And I was talking about filters in general, in real life.
Okay. Like
life in general is completely filtered. No matter what it is you're doing, you can literally tell the algorithm what you want to see and what you don't want to see. If you're ordering food, you got filters. So anything you don't want, they're not even going to show you.
Okay, right? Got you.
If you're dating, there's filters. Anything you think you don't want, they're not even going to show you, right? And then you continue doing that, it learns who you are, and then you get to a point where it's just straight tunnel vision. So you're forced to be biased and only think one thing, like one thing, because a few times you told them this is what you like and this is what you think. So that's all they're going to show you. So God forbid you see something else that doesn't kind of fall in line with that. And it's like, that can't be any good. That can't be true. That can't be valid, you know? Yeah. And it's just making for for a very, very wicked situation, yo.
Yeah, we live in a world of convenience, and that convenience is killing niggas, honestly. That's just crazy. That's a good perspective, for real. We're spoiled. Yeah. Spoiled like a mug.
Facts. Yeah, it's different. And, you know, and we're older, so we have the benefit of knowing what it was like before, you know, before social media and before the internet. And shit was different, right? Completely different. You know, and you mentioned you don't have kids or whatnot. Me as a parent, that's something that over the past handful of years, I've been trying to condition myself to understand and learn too, right? Because for the first handful of years being a parent, I was being a parent based off of how I came up as a kid and how my parents handled me. And then it took me a while to figure out, like, wait, bro, you ain't have the internet when you was a kid. You didn't have social media when you was a kid, you know? You didn't have access to a lot of the things that your kids have access to now. Same thing on the parent side. There's a lot of things, tools and resources that my parents didn't have access to, and information that my parents didn't have access to. So I can't have my mindset of being the type of parent that my parents were and thinking I'm raising the type of kid that I was when I was a kid. It's fucking night and day. You know, so I had to flip the switch and approach it a different way and try to adapt, because otherwise, you know, you're gonna get left behind, man. These kids are gonna start running circles around you.
At least you're on point. You understand what's going on.
Yeah, finally. It took me a while. I ain't gonna lie. You know what I mean? It took me a while, you know, before I was able to really sit back and be like, no, I gotta switch it up because this ain't working, you know? I have to adapt to make sure that they hear me and that they understand me, because, you know, even from a disciplinary standpoint, right? We both Haitian. So yeah. We already know how we came up.
I was about to ask. Yeah, yeah.
We already know how we came up, you know? An ass whooping was the answer to everything, you know? My son don't respond to that, you know? And I found that out early. I was like, yo, this shit, he doesn't respond to that. Not only does he not respond to it, I don't want it to be a situation where now it's like, oh, if you're not responding to it, I got to go harder. I got to do it worse. I got to find a way to make sure you respond. No, this isn't working. You know, it might have worked for me back in the day. Yeah, sure. Scared me straight. My dad made sure I stayed in line. You know?
Yeah, you feel me? You know what I'm saying?
So they made sure I stayed in line. It worked back then. That shit ain't working now. So I had to step back and be like, all right, well, I gotta put that aside. All right. So now it's conversations, you know, let's talk, talk to me. Even still, that's not working all the time, you know, but it's working better than the fear factor, you know? And that was one thing I always tried to tell myself. I was like, yo, I don't want it to be a situation where, you know, my kids fear me. I want them to respect me without a doubt, but I don't want them to fear me, you know? So you gotta be able to find a way to try to make it work. But at the end of the day, it involves being present, you know, because again, if you're simply just tossing the tablet to them, tossing the phone to them, and that ends up being the babysitter, now these influencers are raising your kids. Then what?
They're your parents. Those are the parents, bro.
Then what?
Yeah. Yeah, man. We're gonna say on that topic, rest in peace to Takeoff. Peace to all those who you know what I'm saying, all these lives that have been taken before their time. I don't want to say that it was God's plan. I just say we need to do better, to be honest with you. As a whole people. And I'm just tired of the deferring to outside causes. It has an influence when it comes to why some of us think the way we think, when it comes to whether it be television, music, the control of all that. But we have a part to play when it comes to trying to do better by ourselves, by our community, by our brothers and sisters, mothers, fathers, cousins, whatever that case may be. Yeah. But on that perfect segue of media, music, your boy Kanye West, man. Hey, oh, man, yo. Kanye.
Yo, this is actually the first time I'm speaking on it, yo. And everybody knows I'm a big fan. Everybody knows I'm a fan of Ye. And people have been asking me, what I think. I'm like, I don't know. So you about to be the first one to get my thoughts on this whole shit.
Hey, man. All right, so let's let the people know who, unless you've been under a rock, you should know by now. But, you know, so Kanye has been on a spree right now.
Yeah.
He's been on a spree. There's been a multitude of things that he went through. Shoot, we're in November now. We just got into November. Last month, he just went crazy. I'm sorry, let me not say he went crazy. Because I don't want to turn people off.
Yeah,
he really spoke his mind last month. Let's put it like that. I don't even remember how he started last month, because that's how many things he did last month.
Yeah, it was nonstop. It was like, bah,
bah, bah, what? Bah, bah, what? That boy was letting that thing.
Yeah.
One of the first things that I could remember from last month was Kanye I guess there was a fashion show or something, and he had...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, it was a Fashion Week in Paris.
Fashion Week in Paris, boom. Mm-hmm. And he had Candace Owens by his side, and they were both wearing All Lives Matter shirts. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, Kanye, I see you back on your shit.
I think it was even White Lives.
If that was the case, I said, okay, Kanye, you on your shit. Good, you know what I'm saying? Deuces, man. It was good. It was good knowing you. I'm not saying that I'm totally dismissing the man, like, you know, because everybody's good for a comeback. Everybody can make mistakes and hopefully they figure it out. But in this particular case, I was like, I can't ride with you on this one, bro. Because at this point, you're trying to disrespect black folks. And this is what you are. You are a black man. You came from a black woman. You know what I'm saying? So whatever you're trying to do, whatever you're trying to rile up masses, I'm not riding with you on this one. So on this being said, I was saying this is Kanye being Kanye, and I said I'm good. And then what else happened after that?
George Floyd joint.
George Floyd.
He's saying that. What did he say that? He didn't die from the knee on the neck. Fentanyl or whatever. Yeah.
Once again. This is me saying Kanye being Kanye again. I'm like, all right, mm-hmm. You think, Kanye, I'm not riding with you on this either. Deuces. Mm-hmm. And mind you, while he's saying all that, all the white folks that's on that, you know, that the extreme, like, right side of, you know, white folks, they was really on Kanye's dick.
Don't go sign that quick.
You know what I'm saying? So this is what you want. They're trying to make you the real save your nigga type. That mm-hmm. Finally I found me a nigga I like.
That's for the week, right?
Yeah, so, yeah. You know, thank you.
Because you know the following, he'll say some next shit, and they'll be like, "Whoa, whoa,
yeah, nigga." Yeah, it's still a nigga, just like Jay-Z said, still a nigga. So, you know, like I said, I'm like, man, you not representing black people at this point, man. So let Kanye do Kanye. And then after that, what did he do after that? Then he did the anti-Semitic remarks.
Yeah.
Do you remember exactly what he said? I have an idea, but go ahead and hit me on that.
Not fully. I mean, I know it was around, you know, a roundabout way of, as far as saying, like, you know, Jews have all the money and run mm-hmm. all everything and make all decisions, you know, something like that. I honestly mm-hmm. don't know exactly what he said, you know, I'll get to why, but go ahead.
No, it was in that neighborhood.
Yeah.
So let's preface by saying, before you niggas want to cancel me, man, everything that Kanye said wasn't all false. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, we know, sure, not all Jewish people are rich, not all Jewish people run things, but in particular cases, when it comes to the media, a lot of people running the media happen to be Jewish, mm-hmm. right? And there are some, especially people like Lior Cohen, and I believe he ran Def Jam and a couple labels. And they asked him about, you know, about Black lives as far as like the traumas that, you know, they promote in music. And he was like,
what's this opioid thing, man?
Being a crackhead wasn't cool. Now they seem like they're making it cool to be drinking lean and syrup and
it's the most dangerous thing that's facing our society.
So why sign an artist that would promote that?
Because I already answered that question. You weren't paying attention. She asked me talent or issues, and I said talent. But I can't give up on people.
What I'm saying, that's hypocritical, though.
You're saying it's opportunistic.
Yeah.
I got people to feed. I got a business to run.
You're gonna make Dame Dash take this clip and call you a culture vulture.
So basically, he knows he's profiteering on Black trauma, on Black genocide, and Black drug usage, and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So he knows what the deal is. And this is kind of what Kanye was bringing back to light, because this has been talked about before, but Kanye has to be maybe the highest, the loudest voice to, you know, bring it back into the mainstream. And with that being said, before you niggas want to cancel me, Kanye is not all the way wrong. Now, whether he's saying it the right way and things of that sort, in that particular case, he's not wrong. He's kind of on point. Go ahead, Rick.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing, right? Whether it's Kanye or anybody else, random influencer, celebrity, whoever it is, you know, people going to say shit and you either going to agree or you're going to disagree, right? Mm-hmm. You mentioned as far as him saying some of the things that may not necessarily be wrong, but it's about how he says it, you know? And I think that's always the biggest thing when it comes to Kanye, that's the biggest issue, is where people are not ever happy with his delivery, how he says stuff, when he says stuff. So there could be some truth to some of the things he says, but it's always gonna get lost in translation because it's him saying it, you know? Right. Now, I mentioned before that I really don't know exactly what he said, you know, when it comes down to it. Why is that? It's because I don't care, you know? Like, it goes back to the conversation we were having where we're saying far too many people are living their lives and basing their reality based off of social media and influences and celebrities. Why do we care so much? Why do you care so much? You know, I'm saying you specifically, but in general, mm-hmm. you know? Like, why do people care so much? And then not only that, it's like, okay, so if you care that much, where's the consistency, right? Because is Kanye the only person saying and doing crazy things that's embarrassing our community? Absolutely not, you know? So the same person that might be enraged and going crazy about the things that Kanye say might sit down and watch some bullshit on Love & Hip Hop or Real Housewives, where our community is being made to look fucking ridiculous too, right? So where's the consistency? How does that not outrage you? You know, Kanye says something crazy every couple of months. You're watching this trash for 8, 9, 10 seasons, you know? So I look at it as it being very hypocritical a lot of times, where people pick and choose the things that embarrass our community, right? Yeah. This is the biggest embarrassment for our community, you know? So I'm not here to cape up for Kanye at all. I'm a Kanye fan, big fan of the music. I don't even like his clothing like that. You will never catch me wearing any of his clothing.
You ain't got no Yeezys.
Never in my life bought a pair of Yeezys. I don't think his clothes, that stuff is trash to me, right? Love the music, mm-hmm. even some of the newer music. I'm a biased fan where I can admit where, damn, a lot of the latest stuff isn't that great, really, you know? Still a fan overall mm-hmm. of music, right?
Yeah.
But I'm able to be a fan of this man's music and also hear him say some bullshit and be like, that's not for me, bro. Nah, I'm good. You on your own on that one. And keep it pushing. Mm-hmm. You know, because guess what? Me as Rick, those things that he's saying are not going to dictate what my life looks like for the rest of this 24-hour period, for the rest of this week, for the rest of this month. And people are going to be like, oh, well, you know, oh, you got your head in the sand. And of course it matters when he's saying stuff about George Floyd and this, that. Yeah, I get it. You're right. It does. But at the same time, what are you doing other than yelling and screaming and ranting and pointing fingers and hashtagging and swiping and scrolling
on the internet?
You know what I'm saying? So that's what my question always comes down to is, why do you care so much? Why does it bother you so much? And it comes back to the conversation we was having before. You know, these influencers are here to influence. Stop mm-hmm. being influenced. You know, people just got to stop being influenced, because it's not just Kanye. We talked about Kyrie too. Same thing with Kyrie. He's going through it now as well on the anti-Semitism situation. He posted some movie. I don't even really know exactly what
right,
it is.
Right.
Because for me, I was like, fuck it. I don't care. That's not for me. So I'm not feeding into it. You know, too many people feed into this stuff and get stuck on this stuff. Right. Mm-hmm. So now you're locked in on Kanye's crazy. Kanye's crazy. Kanye's crazy. How dare he say this? White Lives Matter t-shirt. George Floyd didn't die because of the knee on his neck. All of this. That's what you're focused on. Well, okay. In that time, who's raising your kid, man? Who's raising your kid?
Yeah.
Kid got the cell phone in their hand.
Yeah.
You know?
No,
kid
yeah.
got the tablet in their hand. Because guess what? Now, the issue is not what is being said by these celebrities and what these influence. The issue is who is receiving the information. Everybody has the right to swipe. Everybody has the right to turn off. Everybody has the right to block. Nobody's doing that. But they'd rather keep ingesting all of this just so they could rant and rave and point a finger. What's the purpose of that?
But
that's what I want to know.
But that's the thing, though. That's the thing about, unfortunately, about Black social media. You know what I'm saying? We just want to talk about the hot topic. And I'm gonna give you the flip side to that too. So you got the people who are kind of like me, who are not feeling Kanye. Like, but me, I didn't feel like I wanted to give him a platform, because I saw more stuff and I'm like, I was about to post it. I'm like, nah, I'm good. It's kind of just like how you said. Why be triggered by that, or why even further the conversation on that particular stance, on that point? There's the flip side. You've had, so basically a lot of us Black folks are saying that he was saying all this to get out of his contract with Adidas.
Mm-hmm. Adidas, my, Gap, Balenciaga. Yeah.
So, me being the person that likes to sit back and just think about it, in my head, I'm like, make it make sense. Why would you burn your bridges in this fashion? Because if you're really trying to, okay, break your contract so that way you could sell Yeezys for your own self. You want to sell the intellectual property of Yeezys for yourself, the shoes, mm-hmm. clothes, whatever. You're going to find your own distribution. You're going to find your own factories or whatever the case may be. Why would you burn your bridges with the people that consume the most money with you?
Facts.
So, yes, Black folks do spend money with you. Of course we do. What you have to understand is the people who really spend money with you, the forward-thinking white folk, the people with money, the people who have discretionary income, they have money to throw away.
Mm-hmm.
And the majority of people that have money to throw away that will spend money with your brand is not us.
Yeah, it's the generationally wealthy folks.
You feel me? And you know what I'm saying? Like I said, they're forward thinking in the sense of, oh no, he's talking about who? You know what? I can't spend any money with him. That's not right. So why would you fuck up your consumer base in that sense if you're trying to just break a contract? That doesn't even make sense to me.
Yeah.
Why would you burn those bridges if you're trying to make the bag? That's where I'm like, okay, now you're talking that shit. And then that's where you have the flip side, which I was saying earlier, of of the black folks that's like, he's just saying the stuff that y'all were scared to say, things of that sort. I'm like, okay, y'all niggas woke as fuck. y'all see something I don't see. Y'all too smart. Yeah, but y'all got that. I'm not even gonna argue with y'all. Y'all gonna just keep talking in circles and shit. Anybody who ain't got the wherewithal to make these transactions are talking that shit, talking about Kanye was just saying what all of us thinking. Some of the stuff he said was right. But when it comes to saying DEFCON 3, I'm about to go DEFCON 3 on these Jews, like, you're fucking up, my guy.
He's wild.
This ain't it. This ain't
that industry, no less. Yeah.
That ain't
you
it.
You know what? Here's the other thing, right? Kanye didn't wake up and become Kanye just last week.
No, not right? at all. Not at all.
Like,
not at
Kanye
all.
Kanye's been Kanye for a while now.
Yes, yes. Yes,
you
yeah.
know? So it's like, at this point, you know what to expect from him. Technically, you don't really know what to expect from him. But at the same time, you know that you can't know what to expect from him at the very least. You know? He's a wild card, you know? So I think, and that's something for me that I'm able to, you know, just brush it off because I know what kind of dude he is, you know? I know the type of antics that pop up every so often. So for me, there's no shock and awe and this or that, you know. I just, fuck it, whatever. It's not a, if it's a new CD, all right, boom, let me hear it, because I'm here to ingest the music, you know. But outside of that, I'm not with it, right? I do the same thing with a lot of these other celebrities, influences, and whatnot. We talking about Kanye, right? Let's talk about the Kardashians. I think all them fucking bitches is trash, in my opinion. That whole family's trash. So what do I do? I block them the fuck out. You could ask me anything about any one of them right now, and I'd be oblivious. I wouldn't know any news, anything that happens with them, which you know, nigga they fucking today compared to which nigga they was fucking yesterday. I don't know, just because I don't care, you know? So imagine me, you know, I don't want to say hating, but not caring for them the way that I do.
Yeah.
And still be like, what they got going on today? Oh my God, I can't believe that's what they're doing. Oh, let me share that so I can give my thoughts about how much I hate what they're doing. Well, no. Now I'm spreading their platform, right?
Basically.
So something that I hate and can't stand, I'm going to share so I can tell people that I hate and can't stand it. So now everybody who follows me, I just put this thing that I hate and can't stand on this platform for everybody else to see.
Mm-hmm.
What is the point of that, right? You can't stand this man so much. You hate what he stands for so much. You hate the things he says so much. Why are you retweeting just to remind people how much you hate it and can't stand it? If y'all all turn it off, it goes away.
No bullshit.
Nobody's turning it off though.
But chill out now. You're too smart. You gotta chill.
Come on,
you're doing too much. You're too smart for the people, man. You gotta relax.
Come on, man.
I'm with you 100%. Like that's why.
And that's the other thing too, because people wanna say quick to say, oh, you've got this platform. You can't say this with the platform, without realizing that we give them the platform, whichever influencer it is, we're the ones that provide that platform. At any given time, we can decide to take that platform away.
For sure.
Nobody's doing that.
For sure.
Nobody's doing that.
For sure. That's why I'm a bit more conscious about the stuff that I do share.
Mm-hmm.
I feel the same exact way, and that's why I don't give them the free advertisement.
Yep.
Oh,
facts.
Whether it comes to Kanye or police brutality, I feel like that people already know what's going on without me having to share the shit.
Exactly.
Basically, that's where I'm at with it. And it's not hating what you're saying. It's just motherfucker. You just don't fucking like the shit, the Kardashian shit. And I agree.
Yeah, if I don't fuck with you, I don't fuck with you. I'm not even going to bother. Why am I going to waste my time proclaiming for the 100,000,000,000th time that's that him. I don't fuck with you. I'll tell you one time I don't fuck with you and then just not fuck with you.
Damn, that's it.
That's it. That's how it works, dummies.
Haitian as fuck today, right now. We Haitian as fuck. My fuck out of who? I don't care. Get out of here.
Get my skill.
Wow, what? That's it.
Follow, please.
Straight up. Boozing. And that's it. We don't care. We straight up on that cutoff shit for real. Yeah. So I'm with you on that. So yeah, Kanye was going off this week. But it is what it is. But what you said earlier, as far as like Kanye was always like that, I agree.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like those handcuffs were just like they dissolved when his mom passed.
Yeah.
Because I feel like his mom was the one person that could look at Kanye and be like, you know, I don't think that's right, Kanye.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was one person. Mm-hmm.
Did you see the documentary?
I did. Yeah,
how'd you feel about it?
I did. It was cool. It was interesting to see his rise, to see where he was. He was always talented, but mm-hmm. he wasn't always getting the looks that he thought he deserved. You know, saying kept on getting passed along until he finally, you know, got that green light and then started slowly becoming the person he thought he could become. Like, that's the one thing I could say about him. He was persistent and confident in what he was capable of. So I loved seeing that. But once again, it was just a matter of like when his mom passed,
mm-hmm.
there was no one that could check him. Everybody,
that's a big part of it.
Everybody was pussy.
Yeah.
You have nothing but yes men around you.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Just about to say that. That's the problem right there.
That's the thing. It's like, you know, look how much influence he has. It's like, I don't want to piss him off. I'm just going to be like, yes. All right, I'm going to run for president. Okay, yes. All right. So we're going to find some people that could, you know, some pollsters. We're going to find people that could put you on, that could do the campaigning and shit like that. Like, everybody's saying yes to him. No one's saying no. And he has so much going on, so many ideas that he cannot focus on one thing. And he's spreading his talents thin and fucking up all along the way
mm-hmm.
because no one is checking him.
The most insightful part of that documentary, and again, this isn't me trying to make excuses for Kanye or this and that, because again, I accept him for what he is. I know the type of asshole he is, and I'm able to, again, black out the shit that I don't care about because I'm like, I just don't want to hear it and I'm not going to spread that, you know?
The asshole is what made him the man he is today. He wouldn't get where he was if he wasn't the asshole he was. So there's that, though.
That facts, right? So sticking with that point, watching the documentary, seeing, you know, kind of who he was within that time frame when he was grinding, and trying to get to a certain level, you know, there's a certain sense of, you know, like triumph when you're able to finally get somewhere where you knew you meant to be and people kept trying to not let you get there. And then you've got the fact that the one person who was in your ear always telling you, hey, you're gonna make it, you're gonna make it, you're gonna make it, mm-hmm. was there when you made it for a little bit and then you lose them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Here's something that, now, again, I'm no psychologist and I got no degree in this nonsense.
Yeah.
The way I look at him, I feel like it could be a situation where he feels at fault for his mom no longer being there. It's his fame that has caused his mom to no longer be here because, you know, she died under the knife doing some type of plastic surgery, if I'm not mistaken, you know? Mm-hmm. So in my mind, I look at it as someone whose number one person in their life died because the fame and the fortune that he had enabled her to go through whatever process that she was going through, and that took her life. And maybe within him, it's a situation where it's like, this fame is the reason, this fame killed my mom. So if I don't take this fame to the thousandth level and to the thousandth percent.
Mm-hmm.
I killed my mom for nothing, right? Yeah. It's like, damn, this is the reason she's no longer here. It's because I'm rich and famous and was able to have her go to do this plastic surgery or whatever, and it happened. So it's like, you know, and I don't know if this is true and I don't know if that's the case, but I could imagine mentally it could be a mm-hmm. situation where it's like, damn, well, if I wasn't famous, she would have never been getting that operation and she would still be here, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
So if it's because I'm famous that unfortunately she's not here, I owe it to her to be the biggest thing ever, just because then why not, right? Because if that's the case, then I wasted the fame and got my mom killed, you know? That could be far out. It could be some random nonsense. But watching it, that's the kind of feeling I got from watching the documentary, is that, you know, I'm willing to bet that at a certain level, there is a sense of she's gone because of me. She's gone because of my fame, because of my fortune, because of where I got, you know? It's kind of like if, you know, I think, I don't want to get the story wrong, but didn't Jay-Z get his nephew a car or something like that? And then the nephew died in the car accident, mm-hmm. you know? But it doesn't have to be Jay-Z, it doesn't have to be whatever. But imagine you yourself, you get somebody, you get a nephew or a cousin, you buy them a bike, and they're out riding that bike and they get hit by a car, God forbid, and they die, right? That guilt falls with you. Shit, if I never got them that bike, they'd still be here. You know what I mean? So it's those mm-hmm. types of things where, you know, I could imagine from watching the documentary and seeing what the relationship was like with him and his mom, that absolutely plays a major part. Because down to exactly what you said, more than anything, she was able to check him. She was able to keep him alive. And I've said before on other platforms where having people in your life that can check you is one of the most important things in the world, you know? Because if you continue to live a life where you are unchecked, you become unhinged. And this is what happens, you know? When you've got nothing but yes men around you, bad shit is going to happen, you know? And it's unfortunate because a lot of times, the yes men are nothing but fucking leeches.
Mm-hmm.
That makes it even worse, you know?
Yep.
So they're yes men to your detriment because they feel it's to their benefit.
Boom.
You know? So at the end of the day, when you go sinking, doesn't matter to them. They got as much as they could out of it and they could just move on and disconnect. Be like, nope, I'm gonna wash my hands. This one ain't on me.
Oh, come on now. Basically, this is basically what's going on right now. Everybody that, you know, everybody that, you know, was involved with them, whatever, you're saying yes, yes, this, yes, that, because, you know, they was getting to their benefit. And then as soon as he started popping off, it's like, okay, you know what? I think I've gotten as far as I could with this situation. Yeah. And I'm gonna just go ahead and wash my hands right here and back the fuck out.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I agree with that 100%. And it's crazy too. As far as like on the anti-Semitic stuff, like as long as Kanye has been popping off at the mouth when it comes to social issues, it's of course, like black issues. It's whatever. It's just us fighting Kanye.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as you know, the situation when it comes to the Jewish faith, that's when it goes down and under. And then of course we understand why, because this is what he was saying earlier.
Yep.
The ones who have the power are the ones who are cutting ties with Kanye. So
yeah,
it's kind of him ironically making his point.
Yeah, sad but true. Yeah, that's the ironic part. That's the ironic part, is like the shit he said is being proven by the reaction.
Just saying.
You know?
Yeah, because he's been talking all this shit about black folks, you know what I'm saying? As much as he's for black folks, he's talking shit about black folks and nothing happened. You know what I'm saying? We said our little 10 cents and nothing happened, but he said this is that. Oh, we're going to cut this kind of, don't worry about it. And then I was watching. I don't know if were you watching the game last night, the basketball Brooklyn game?
No, I caught the highlights.
You caught the highlights.
Yeah.
So, during the game,
so with people at the courtside seats, right?
Courtside, yeah. Brooklyn versus Brooklyn versus whatever. Brooklyn was playing, and you already know Kyrie's on the team. Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
They ended up talking about the coaching situation. The coach was getting fired, and there's a possibility that the Boston coach can go over there. That's a whole nother conversation.
Jeez, boy, is that?
Yeah, but they started talking about Kyrie. I guess Kyrie retweeted a movie,
mm-hmm.
and that's deemed as anti-Semitic. I have no information on what this movie's about.
Yeah,
or, you know, whatever. So I can't even talk about that. My thing was, I found it interesting how they spent a good 5 minutes talking about that and saying how he should be suspended. And then they got one of the courtside reporters who happened to be Jewish to kind of get his 2 cents on it. Mm-hmm. And what else were they doing? They were talking about how the league is so fast to respond to how the owners might mess up or whatever the case may be. But when Kyrie messes up, the NBA players have nothing to say. So they're kind of, putting the hand down on the players about the situation for not, you know, they're not standing up for him. They're not like shutting him down.
Yeah.
So they were just like falling back on this particular
situation. Not saying anything, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it was interesting that Reggie Miller and the other announcer, as well as courtside reporter, had their 10 cents to say about that, which was, I thought that was very interesting, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, again, the whole situation, and like you mentioned before, I don't even really know exactly what it is he tweeted. So like you said, it was some type of movie on Amazon or something like that. I don't know. Movie, book, who knows? I don't know all the details, again, because for me, it's like, yeah, no, not for me. I don't care, you know? So I didn't share it. I didn't retweet it. I didn't, you know, put my thoughts out there just because I didn't give a fuck. You know what I mean? So, but you mentioned something very interesting because, you know, the whole situation with the owners, you know, like we've seen where owners have been embattled with, you know, racial situations, derogatory situations, gender situations and whatnot, you know? So the whole Kyrie thing kind of bubbles up because the outrage obviously comes down to, well, how come he's able to, you know, put this stuff out there and da 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 da. Now, again, I'm speaking as somebody who knows very minimal about what it is that he shared. I know that he shared this thing. I don't even know exactly in what context, because, you know, I know I might have seen the tweet one time on ESPN or whatnot, and that's about it, you know, but.
And just to pause you real quick, too.
Yeah.
You don't know the context either. So I think the media controllers of the Brooklyn Nets talked to Kyrie and said, hey, we're going to try to see if this could fizzle down. So you're not allowed to say anything.
Mm-hmm.
We're just going to shut you down right quick when it comes to like talking to the media. Don't tweet shit. Don't say shit. So when you said the context, 100% on that as well. He wasn't able to speak context. Whether it would have been to his detriment or to maybe saving face, they didn't even give him the opportunity when it comes to his employers at the Brooklyn Nets. So I just wanted to put that in there as well.
Yeah. So that's a big that's a big part of it for me, right? Context is always key. You know,
mm-hmm.
the Kanye situation. That man said what he said.
That's Kanye. He said that.
Like you know exactly what he said. He said it. He put it out there. You know, from what I know from the Kyrie situation, all I know is that he tweeted this thing out. As far as I know, he didn't necessarily say anything anti-Semitic. And from recent reports that I heard, it may even seem like it might have been a boneheaded situation where he himself may not have even known exactly what that movie or whatever was in its entirety. You know what I mean? So now there's a sense of responsibility that comes, obviously, when you do have this platform and when you're retweeting stuff or resharing stuff. It's important to know kind of what it is you're sharing or retweeting. Let's take Matt Barnes, for example, right? We talked about, well, not, we didn't talk about, but we mentioned briefly the whole situation with Boston and Ime, you know. And remember, initially, Matt Barnes came out in defense of him. The following day, Matt Barnes pulled down the video that he posted in defense of him. Why? And said, hey, I posted this video defending him last night. I got some new information since then, and I'm backing off of that defense based off of the new information I got, you know? Yeah. So I feel like this might be a situation similar with Kyrie. Obviously, eventually we're going to hear, and I would think we're going to hear and find out from him specifically, you know? But it could be a situation where this man really didn't know what it was that he was putting out there, you know? Who knows? Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. But based off of the information I got, it doesn't seem like he knows exactly what he's putting out there. And more importantly, it wasn't him specifically coming out and saying or doing anything anti-Semitic, right? I don't think it's fair to equate it to the owners necessarily, because with the owners, you go back to the owner with the Clippers and whatnot. This man was on tape talking recklessly about Black folks being racist. And whatnot, you know, talking about, I don't want you sitting, I don't want these people sitting there. I think he was talking about Magic or whatever, you know. You got the owner of the Suns, where, you know, the investigation is done and it's a it's years long of, you know, racial abuse, gender abuse, misogyny, all of that. Things that are actual actions that people did. These owners didn't just randomly tweet out a movie that happens to be racist or sexist, you know? They were actually engaging in acts of racism and sexism and misogyny, you know what I mean? So I don't think it's fair to equate the Kyrie situation to the situation with the owners, you know? But what you mentioned is very important. We have to be able to at least get to a point where if he does actually speak up for himself and say exactly why it was that he posted that and what happened behind it, we can get a better sense and we can hopefully make a better decision as far as how to move forward. Or if you don't like it, you can just turn it off and keep it moving. And again, pull that platform away so that it's not continuing to be a detriment. You know, people love to watch a car crash. No matter what, people love to watch a car crash, you know? Everybody and their mama is going to sit in traffic and be pissed off about why it is that we're stuck in traffic. Why are we stuck in traffic? Why are we stuck in traffic? You're going to complain till you're blue in the face. Move, drive. Why are we stuck in traffic? But when you get up to that crash and the road is nice and clear, your bitch ass is going to slow down and look too.
Eat that some.
So what are we complaining about? You are part of the problem. You're part of the problem. So I don't want to hear it.
And what the crazy part is, people is not going to turn off. And the people who are I guess, affected by this the most are the ones who would rather just cancel. Cancel. Like, it's our way or the highway. We think he should be canceled. He should be suspended, blase, blase. And like you said, I would like to know context.
Context is key.
Context is super key. Is very key. Even when it comes to situations that involve us, what happened? I want to know what's the information first. What happened first before we just go ahead and do that? Because I would like the same respects if it was on my end, if I was to do something maybe that I did by accident or whatever the case may be. Let's get the facts. Let's do a thorough investigation, and from there we figure out how to move.
Yeah, that was the same thing with the Ime situation. Right out the gate, so many people, even within my circle, was jumping out to defend this man. Oh, it was a consensual relationship. I don't know why this isn't that. And I'm like, yo, y'all got to back up a little bit. Let's not focus on consent, right? Because again, this is an HR situation. This is a work environment situation. Mm-hmm. So regardless of consent being involved, there's a lot of other tricky situations that you got to deal with when you're dealing with a subordinate, you know, in a work environment. So we can't just latch on to consent and be like, oh, well, if it was consensual, it's all good. Anything that happened is okay. That's not necessarily the case, you know? And as more and more things started to come out, we saw that wasn't the case. And so many people who jumped out the window was ready to go hard and defend this man was looking really fucking stupid when the information was coming out, and you're like, ooh, that dude is a fucking dirtbag, yo. I'm not going to touch this one.
Damn, I still don't know what happened with. I'm about to figure it out.
Like you said, man, that's a whole other conversation. especially now that it looks like he's about to end up being the Nets coach. Man, the Nets PR team is going to be working overtime, bro.
Are they? But everybody going to chill out when they win their games, because I really don't like that move for real. You don't like that move. So you're gonna hire a really good coach. I'm talking about a person, if he's a good person or not. I don't know.
Man.
But I'm saying, but you're gonna hire a really good coach that knows the X's and the O's of the opposite team, the enemy team. Come on now. And you got Kevin Durant, you got Kyrie Irving, you're gonna figure something out. And I don't like that.
Man. We're gonna see what happens. It's gonna be a shitstorm for the Nets the entire rest of the season, man. It's gonna be wild to see.
It's only gonna be a shitstorm if the Nets are still losing. I can hear that. If they're winning,
I think it's gonna be either way. Because even if they're winning, I still feel like it's only the fans that are gonna be, you know, like riding with them. And I feel like from the sense that I get, fans are riding with them already, you know. So I don't think the fans, for the most part, haven't turned on Kyrie. The fans, for the most part, are saying, hey, Ime can coach. Bring Ime in to coach because we know he can coach, you know? So win or lose, I think the fans are going to ride with him. The people who have an issue with it, win or lose, they're going to have an issue with it. So I think it's going to be a PR nightmare for them the whole rest of the way. And the more they win, I think it gets louder, because God forbid this is a team that you end up having going to the finals on this platform, on this stage. Those people that are pissed off right now, imagine how much more pissed off they're going to be if they have to watch this team that they've decided that they hate so much be a champion.
But Rick, we've been here before.
Facts. We always here.
So we've seen this with Kobe. We've seen this with Kobe for a little bit. Everybody shut up after he won the championship. We ain't hear nothing about that. Ben Roethlisberger, another situation. Heard that before. You ain't hear nothing about that. He won another Super Bowl after that. You know what I'm saying? So we've been here before. You know what I'm saying? It ain't nothing.
Yeah.
Cleveland with my boy Deshaun. Let me fall back before I say my boy.
Oh, hey, listen,
I'm not gonna say my boy, but I'm just saying something kind of funky. Things kind of funky on that situation, but you know what I'm saying?
That's a whole other conversation. Boy,
yes, it is. Cool. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So there's that. So if they're winning games and they have nothing to contribute when it comes to like buying tickets or whatever, I think the Brooklyn Nets, they care less. As long as they're coming up on the positive, let them talk their talk. That's why we're paying top notch for these PR people. So that way they calm down the situation. We're going to pay off these reporters and make sure they say nothing but good things on the newspaper. And we give it to you. Let's win games. Yeah. Come on, man. It's politics, baby.
Facts. It sure is, too.
Thank you. But shoot, man. I don't know, man. I think it might be time to wrap it up a little bit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's always good to have you on here. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely, man. Always, always appreciate the invite, man.
You already know, man. We're always talking that good stuff on here. You already know. Let them know what your Instagram, your socials, you know what I'm saying? So they can find
you. Hey, like I know I talked a lot of shit about not following people, but follow me at least, you know. I ain't trying to be no influencer or nothing, man. I'm just trying to talk a little shit and have some good conversations. But man, hit me on all forms of social media. I am Mr. Eccentric. It's at Mr. Eccentric. MreEssentric. Mr. Eccentric. You can email me too, MrEccentric@gmail.com. Questions, comments, concerns. I take show ideas, you know, requests to be on the show. You know, I like to have a nice open platform and just have some dope conversations, man. So as always, man, anything come up, give me a shout and we can chat, yo.
You already know what it is. See, appreciate you for coming through once more. I'm saying, yes, sir. Check out his podcast. You know, he got some real dope content on there. He has another episode coming out really soon.
Yeah, real soon. It's a dope episode too. My partner, one of my homies, One of my best friends since I was young, he's got his own podcast. It's called the Inquisitive Nobody. So we did a part one conversation on his podcast about, you know, kind of the contrast between being a nice guy and being an asshole, and how far you can get in life, specifically within relationships and whatnot. So the part one of the episode, he just dropped recently on his podcast. And then part two is what I'm going to be dropping on my podcast sometime in the next week or so. So be on the lookout for that, man. It's a dope conversation.
I like how y'all did that. That's kind of like that's kind of like doing something on Chicago PD and dropping on Chicago FD.
Chicago Fire. Little
cross
platform joint. That was the plan.
No, I like that. That's dope. I see how y'all moving, man. I'm moving a little different. I like that.
Yeah, trying to bring a little something different to the game, you know?
Mm-hmm. Nah, but I like that. I'm definitely gonna check that out right there. That nice guy topic, asshole. It's a bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's real right now. I got some stories for you, bro. That's some awesome stuff right there. Once again, thanks for coming through, you know what I'm saying?
Facts, man. Appreciate it, brother. Appreciate it.
You already know. Folks, thank you for pulling up on Stirring the Pot Podcast. You already know it's your boy DDA. You can find me on Instagram. Stirring the Pot Talks at Stirring the Pot Talks. On Facebook, facebook.com/STP Talks. And once again, thank you for pulling up. Thank you for sharing your time with us, listening. And you already know, just hit us up in the DMs or whatever. Let us know what you think. Let us know what you want to talk about. And as always, peace in.
Yes, sir.